would you stand?
I was there within my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my time till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my time till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave.
Guess what? The students were in camp last week and now they're home. Just in case you were curious, man, we are so glad that you're here. Good morning. Good morning. I learned all kinds of stuff. I can't wait for you to hear the stuff I learned. Well, I don't know if you'll tell them all the stuff I learned this morning, but we're glad that you are here. They had an amazing life-altering week. God done invaded who they are and is changing who they'll be. For those of you who prayed, Richard is going to say thank you, but I can't thank you enough. We won't be able to say that phrase enough. Thank you for praying. Thank you for loving those kids. Would you do me a favor? Just smile at somebody around you. Tell them it's going to be okay.
Ooh.
praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, for the wonders of His love. Now clap and sing, praise God,
praise God.
Jesus, Jesus. Good to be in the house of the Lord today, don't you think? Have a seat if you believe that. Wanted to give you a quick recap to give you a little insight into what a lot of this, all of our students kind of experienced this past week. We went up to Student Life Camp 2022. Normally we go out of state, but the last couple years have been kind of, you know, screwed up because of the pandemic, but we got to go out of state. We went to Asheville, North Carolina, home of the Dreamcatchers, the Birkenstocks, and the Drum Circles. We were located at University of North Carolina, Asheville. We invaded that campus with 500 other students who came near and far. We were the far group. There was a group from Baltimore as well. But we were the furthest away, 10 hours away. We got in the mountains. We arose every day to temperatures around 62 degrees. Fair skies in the low 80s during the day. Yes, yeah, I know you're jealous. It was a good break from that standpoint. The theme of the week was something that was kind of interesting. Unlikely was the theme. The verse that was associated with that is, humans do not see what the Lord sees, for humans see what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart. Unlikely, like Moses with a speech impediment leading the Israelites out of Egypt. Unlikely, like Gideon in the 300 who came in and defeated a great and mighty army. Unlikely, like the disciples who were kind of like roughneck fishermen leading the gospel and into the early church. Unlikely. Like Ole Miss winning the national championship in baseball. Unlikely. Like UCF, highly unlikely to win the national championship, according to them, in football. Highly unlikely. That was the kind of the theme for the week. And you know what? It sounded a little weird when it came on the T-shirt. The T-shirt that I'm wearing has another unlikely hero. He is David. They only let him be from the neck up, you know, because of if you're kind of educated in that way. But David defeating Goliath was one of the themes for the week. We went up there, and we had a great time. We had a band from Liberty University that really was awesome. We had a camp pastor that his name is CZ, which I always thought was cubic zirconia, but he went by that. He went by that, and he shared and broke the word open for us. But we had a great time of worship. But you know, I could keep talking, but why don't we just watch the screens and I give you a kind of a taste of what we experienced.
Soul. This bag of bones,
Very good. You saw some of the scenes. Our church youth group is a reflection of our total church and the fact that missions and community is in our DNA. It is modeled by you, the church family, and it trickles down to our students. We do not force our students to go to missions. Some churches probably would. But we went to a place called Woodridge Apartments. It's government housing up in Asheville area. All kinds of diversity there from Romanians. I now know that when I talk to a Romanian, I say, "Salute Diana." And that was one of the kids' names that we saw there. That's all I know of Romanian, by the way. So, but there was Ukrainians as well as Hispanic folks, African American, just a whole melting pot of little kids. The first day we prayed and three people came. We literally were dropped into it like a SEAL team, you know, right into this apartment complex. And we went door to door, knocking on apartment doors. And a lot of them opened and a lot of them closed. And we had three kids that came out that day. The second day we tripled that amount. And we got to minister to more children. Just, you know, you saw there having a good time, but also being able to share the gospel with them, meaning you had a personal conversation with a child, right? And that was very, very even and very flowing. It takes a lot to get out of your comfort zone. If you're an adult right there, you know that it's a lot better when I can stay in my comfort zone. But God doesn't call us to that. To knock on people's doors, total strangers, with the supervision of adults, of course, you know, doors opened, and we had a great time. Third day, we say, this is going to be awesome. I know these kids' names. We want to give them something. We went out and bought Bibles. We had students highlight their favorite verses in those Bibles so that when they gave them the Bible, they just didn't plop down a Bible and say, "Hey, read this." They actually sat down and said, "These are some of my favorite verses. You reflect on those as well." we got there, and there was another group there in our spot where we ministered all week. It was another mission fuge. It's another camp I'm really familiar with. This was their first day of camp. And so our kids had been there already two other days, and we ministered together. It worked out great, and we had a great time. I'm not going to talk anymore, but I'm going to let the students talk. So, Colby, come on up here. So
I'm going to talk about worship and our speaker. So if you didn't know already, our worship team, they were from Liberty. They were called Liberty Worship Collective. You can Google them later if you want to. Not right now, though. I'm talking. But they were good. Not as good as our band, obviously, but, you know, they put on some great music, some of the music you heard today. And just a tip, never stand right next to a speaker. It's a horrible idea. Don't do it. It's a really bad idea. But they were really good. I worshipped like I never had before because it was a different atmosphere. So, and then moving on, our pastor was called CZ. His name was actually Curtis Zachary, but we called him CZ for short. And one thing that really stood out to me was his sermon. He was talking about being the aroma of Jesus Christ. And it's really easy when you're at camp to be like, oh, Jesus, 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 because you're with 500 other believers. But when you get back home and get back into your routine, it's not that easy. So you got to be the Jesus fragrance is how he said it. And that really stood out to me. Like, you have to be the light in the world, because we all know that the world is getting darker. And we can all see it. But, you know, you got to be the light and be the aroma of Jesus Christ. So, thank you.
Hey, my name is Katie. Hi, guys. I'm going to talk about our mission site. So this was a really, really impactful mission site for me. I've been to a couple of camps, and this is my first time personally doing a mission site with kids, which I loved and adored, but the leaving part was really, really hard. And the reason that it was like that was because of a little girl named Anella. You saw a picture of her in the video, a couple of them. Anella and her brother Paleloa are from Hawaii. And let me tell you, she was the sweetest little girl I've ever met in my entire life. We met the very first day, and within like 10 minutes, we were not going anywhere without each other, let me tell you. Like, we were attached at the hip. We were drawing chalk. We made the most epic hopscotch you've ever seen in your life. Okay, there was cartwheels, skipping, leapfrog. It was super cool. We learned that if you want to blow bubbles while skipping, you have to skip backwards or else the bubbles pop in your face. We didn't appreciate that. So we did that. The next day, we made necklaces. We made bead necklaces. This is mine. We made them for each other. I learned that when you're making a bead necklace, color scheme is not important. What you have to do is just put every single colored bead on every single necklace. That was something I had to learn. It was a learning curve for me. But now I know. And so we traded necklaces to remember each other by. And we were sitting next to each other. And one of the girls in our youth group had written in chalk Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. And I was trying to, you know, have the Jesus talk. That's the whole point. That's why we were there. And I was like, Anella, do you know what that verse says? She's like, no, I can't read. I was like, okay. I was like, can I read it to you? She said, yes. So I read it to her, and I was like, do you know what that means? She was like, no. I was like, well, that means that, you know, no matter what happens, Jesus loves you. And he's great plans for you, and so no matter what, you can trust in Jesus. And she was like, yeah, okay, and lost interest. And so the whole rest of the week, I was just like sitting there and I was thinking, I was like, how can I have this Jesus talk with this little girl? She's just, I mean, I love her to bits, but she is not like into just sitting there and talking. She's always wanting to do something. We had music playing all week, and some of the music we had playing were VBS songs, which are super upbeat Jesus songs. And I'm sitting there singing one of the songs. It's called Watching Over You. And it says, God is watching over you 24/7, watching over you. And it keeps going on like that. And I was sitting there and I'm belting out the lyrics. She's belting out the lyrics. We're singing this together. And I realized at that moment that that was the Jesus talk that we were going to have. And that was how I was going to communicate Jesus's love to that little girl. She did make me cry multiple times with her asking me to stay, which of course I had to say no to, but, it was just an amazing, amazing week. And hopefully I poured into her as much as she was able to pour into me and how much I saw Jesus's love, through just the way that she acted and through the way that kids act. It was a really, really beautiful week. So, yeah.
Almost forgot that I had to do this again. Anyway, no. So I'm also going to talk about our mission site. In the video, you saw a picture of me with a little boy. His name was Ray. And we had a magnificent days together, which I have dubbed the days with Ray. The first day was pretty simple. We just got together, played games. He wants to be an NFL quarterback one day, so that's good for him. He has high aspirations. And day two, things shifted a little bit. You see, after day one, I was thinking to myself, well, I've made a connection with this kid. How in the world do I talk to him about Jesus in a natural way where he's not just going to want to change the subject instantly, or is just going to be like, why is this guy talking to me about Jesus all of a sudden? We were playing softball. And I don't really remember how it happened, but we got on the topic, and I asked him, well, Ray, do you go to church? And he said, yes, I do go to church. And I said, that's fantastic. What's your favorite Bible story? And he said, I don't know. I don't really have one. What's yours? Now, I was not expecting the return of that question. So I said, okay. And I thought of the prodigal son, which is one of my favorite Bible stories. And I said, do you know the story of the prodigal son, the parable that Jesus tells? And he said, no, I've never heard of it. So I got to sit with him and explain to him the story and the importance of the prodigal son and how God's love for us never fades and we can go off and live however awful of a life we want. And when we repent and come back to him, he'll be waiting there with open arms. And that was day two. Day three was when the other youth group came. And when we all got there, we were like, oh my gosh, why are you in my spot? So, which turned out to be a complete wrong thing to do because they were wonderful. But I ran out of the van and I was like, where is Ray? Where is Ray? And Olivia said, oh, he's right there. Don't worry about it. And he just made a beeline towards me. And I said, hey, Ray, how you doing today? And he said, great, Max. I heard you have something for me. And what we had for him were the Bibles that we all highlighted and that I highlighted with some of my favorite verses and some very important stories. And I said, yes, I have this Bible for you. And he said, well, and I said, do you have one? And he said, well, no, it's at my grandfather's house. I haven't read it in a while. I said, well, that's great because I've highlighted some verses for you. And then he asked me a question. He said, Max, was God created? I said, well, no, God wasn't created. He's always been there and he always will be there. He never had a beginning and he has no end. And his face was the most confused I'd seen it over those 3 days, understandably so, because that's a very difficult concept to grasp. But that gave me the chance to talk to him about faith. So I said, Ray, do you know what faith is? And he said, well, I know a girl named Faith. And I was like, well, not really. That's not the faith I'm talking about. So I got to use the chair analogy, which I'm sure you've all heard, which is when you sit in a chair, you believe that the chair is going to keep you up. You have faith that that chair is going to do what it's created to do. And God's not created, but God will do what he promises to do. And God will love you. And he asked me, I said, do you want to go play now or you have more questions? And he had more questions. He said, does God have a father? I said, no, he doesn't. And then one final question he asked me before we played for the day, and this was the last time I got to really talk to him about Jesus, but it was so worth it. He said, what about gangs? And I said, what? He said, what about gangs and what about bad people? So I was like, well, Ray, are you trying to ask, like, why is there evil in the world? He said, yeah, why is there evil in the world if God's good? And I was like, well, that is a heavy topic, but I got to explain to him the fall, that sin entered the world and that we live in a broken world. But God is good and God is love and he loves us. And I made sure to write a note about that in the front of his Bible, just saying that, remember, I know that we might not see each other again, but remember that God loves you and that I love you. So that was really cool. This whole week, God has taught me to, like Richard was talking about, getting out of your comfort zone and just not overthinking, but just stepping out and stepping into the opportunities that he presents to you, which has been really fantastic. And it's my last camp, but it's definitely my favorite. And God has revealed a lot of crazy things to me over the week. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, guys. If you didn't notice, we did go whitewater rafting on the way back, the French Broad River. Ate on the bank, flipped over a boat, and they had a nice spread there. Because we always like to take a side trip, being from Central Florida, because it takes so much time to get out of the state. And frankly, Florida kids don't know anything about moving water growing up here. So we kind of took advantage of that. I actually climbed almost like an Acapulco kind of cliff diving. It was probably 25, 30 feet in the air. And I said, Lord, be with me. And I jumped in, took the plunge. Others will say it wasn't that tall, but I don't care. But anyway, we had a great time in that. But most of all, we thank you, our church family, for praying for us. It's kind of become a tradition, but Kurt and Patty Lytle send me a text at 7 o'clock every day we were at camp with a verse and what they were praying about and praying for. And I know many of you were doing the same. Proverbs 11:25 was one of the verses he shared, and that he basically says just one sentence, you know, those who refresh others will also be refreshed. And that would be what I would tell you today: refresh and you shall be refreshed tenfold. Get out of your comfort zone and be everything that God has called you to be. We kind of learned that this week in kind of a really concentrated way. But we love you, our church family, because you're investing in our students and you're modeling for them who they are in Christ. So we all benefit by that. So we really do appreciate it. We're going to go ahead, and I think we're going to sing again. So get ready, because this has been good worship so far. What do you say?
Standing at the edge of everything I know, comfort is behind me. I've got to let that go. There's freedom in the free fall. I'm falling into you. And God knows where I'm going. Maybe I don't have to. Take all my questions as they wrestle to the ground. Patiently you guide me beyond what I see now. I don't have what I need. My comfort.
Father, as we make the turn to your word, God, open our hearts and remind us that yours is the victory, and we get the joy of living in it with you. Bless our worship. Bless our listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? Boom, boom, like a boom, 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 like a boom, 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 boom.
That's going to be my new theme song. There we get up. That's going to be the theme song each week. Actually, that's not going to be my theme song each week, and I know that you're heartbroken over that. Because today we actually end, we wrap up, and we land our Jurassic Ark series. Now, over the past few weeks, we've done a variety of things, and we've gone a variety of different places, and we've looked at these creatures. And some of you came in this morning, you saw the worship flyer, and on the back, I noticed that there were no points there. At the 9 o'clock service, someone pointed out, well, apparently you have no point. And I say often when I teach, there's no point. But yet today, we're going to look, again, at a couple of passages. We're actually calling this one Walking the Dinosaur. And I'm going to take you very quickly into Job and Isaiah for a couple of moments. And we're going to look at some things. But you need to know at the front end, we've been talking up to this point about a number of things, and I really am going to do some summaries today. But we live in a culture sometimes that we are fearful of. And I've told you, and all through this series, I've tried to remind you that as followers of Jesus, you can't be fearful of the culture. The reason is because the culture itself is a kitten. It's a kitty cat. And how crazy and insane is it that we would cower in front of a kitten and slap the face of a lion? Because Jesus is the Lion of Judah, and he has called us to be a lot. And we spend a whole lot of time being fearful of the culture at the expense of being who God created us to be. And we are called to be different than that. We're called to be stronger than that. I went back in the very first week. I looked at a creature in the Bible that some of us had not taken a whole lot of time to look at. And we looked at the behemoth, and we discovered that in the behemoth, God did an amazing job at creating this beast. But yet then we drew the similarities of how he has created you. And the takeaway was very simple. You are to live your life as a beast. Now, for some of you, that was very offensive. I don't want to be beastly in the world around me. Yeah, but you were created to be a beast. And see, some of the people know you think you are anyway, so you might as well be that. Be the beast you were created to be. And so we looked at that, and we kind of took that, and then the next week we looked at the Leviathan, and we talked about the endless possibilities that God has, that amazing way that God has created us. And so if he's created you to be a beast with endless possibilities, then what is it you're supposed to do? And then last week we looked at another creature, a dragon, if you will, a tannin. And we discovered a creature that we were really not familiar with, but we also discovered in Scripture that this may not be what we always thought it was. And so if you weren't with us, you can go back and look. But as we did, we also saw that we need to start looking beyond where we are with a little bit of holy ambition as to what God wants to do with us. Matter of fact, you know, that was our takeaway. God, give me a holy ambition. Give me a desire to be and do and become those things that you have created me to do and be and become. And so today we're going to land this thing, and I knew that our kids would be sharing, and we knew that we would be doing a lot of things, so don't panic. It's not, they're not 14 points in a poem or anything like that coming. But just a couple more ideas, and we'll share some more, I'm sure, at other times. But the world that we live in really has changed. Because in 1998, if you were alive in 1998, we were talking to people. We would talk to our kids. Parents would tell their children, don't get in a car with a stranger. We learned stranger danger. Don't do that. Bad idea. Fast forward, by the time we get 2008, we had this thing that was happening around us called the Internet. And so we were teaching our kids, you know, don't meet people that you meet online alone. And then here we are today in 2022, we use something called Uber, which means basically we are ordering a car from a stranger that we've never met to come and pick us up so we can get in the car with that stranger to take us someplace that we want to go, and we're going to pay them for the experience. And we think that's normal. That's evolution. See, that's how we evolve. That's what happens in the world around us. That's why things are different. That's why things are always changing. And we're always changing. Because the world that we're living in is fast-paced. Times change. And so we come once again to a moment where we think about the changes that are taking place. For our students this past week, a life-changing week, I hope, for you guys. For us as a church, we are thrilled and honored that we can be a part of that journey with you guys. For us as a church, one of the challenges for us is to pray that for our students, this is a life-changing week and that change would last a lifetime. And so if you're sitting here this morning, you listen to what they've said, you saw the pictures, make sure that you're praying for our students, because these are moments that will just change the trajectory of your life forever. Moments you can never get again, moments you don't get to relive, but moments that really do become those places where God really does some great growing in you. And so you guys embrace that. And we'll promise to pray with you about that in the days ahead. And this morning I want to take you to a story in the Bible about Rahab. Now you say, oh, I know about Rahab, but we're talking about dinosaurs. What's going on? Yeah, it's not the Rahab I'm talking about. See, when I say Rahab, most of you, if you've got any kind of background at all, are thinking about, oh, this is the woman that helped the spies, and there was the whole Jericho thing going on, and that's the Rahab that's mentioned in Hebrews 11. I mean, she makes the Faith Hall of Fame. I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about the other Rahab. Now, you may be saying, there's another Rahab? And there is. And you can say, well, I didn't know that. And I would say, well, then today is your day. And today we're going to look one more time back into God's Word at one more creature, and we're going to do it really, really fast so you can go do a deep dive on this on your own. But this is one of the stranger creatures in all of Scripture, and it's not described real clearly, but I want you to know this is a monster. This creature is a monster. And when we look at what the Bible says about this creature, we begin to discover that there is something amazing and interesting that defies explanation. Back in 1977, something happened on a Japanese fishing vessel that went very much unnoticed. This Japanese fishing vessel actually dug up, if you would, a smelly monster that had been dead for about a month. They photographed it. They took samples of it. But then they dropped it back into the sea so they had room to fill their boat with fish. In the aftermath of the discovery, and the looking at the pictures, and the digging into the samples, it was decided this was a pliosaur, which is a Loch Ness monster-looking kind of creature. And it was photographed. That photograph is out there on the Internet. You can go find it. Don't do it right now. Heard that earlier. Don't look yet. Look later. I know some of the 9 o'clock crowd did because they were showing me the picture later. Show me, is this what you're talking about? This is what I was talking about. The picture's out there. But the question is, if this was such a big deal and a big discovery in 1977, why didn't we hear about it? See, in Japan it was such a big deal, they actually made a postage stamp to commemorate the discovery. But here in America, our media didn't talk a whole lot about it. As a matter of fact, the story was pretty well buried. Why? Well, remember what was going on in 77. It was another big push. It was another time in our history where evolution was really being thought, and there were some battles that were taking place, and so this undercut the narrative that there might be a creation story that runs alongside that might conflict with this idea of evolution, and so we didn't hear about it. But today, when you go home and Google it, you can actually see what this is like, and then you can read some of the conclusions that they came up with. They said, oh, it was a shark. or something else. You look at it and you're going to go, there's no way that's a shark. There's no way that's a fish. It's something far different, a creature, new discoveries. And along the way, we've been talking about discoveries that have been made in your lifetime, in the past few years, of creatures that are walking on this planet that we never knew were there before, simply because God has an amazing way of doing creative work. And because he is the God of creation, we can trust him and we can be who he has created us to be. And so we come to this passage trying to understand it just a little bit. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Job chapter 9, verse 13. It says this, God will not turn back his anger. Beneath him crouch the helpers of Rahab. And then if you drop down to Job chapter 26, verses 12 and 13, it says, he quieted the sea with his power, and by his understanding he shattered Rahab. By his breath the skies became fair, and his hand pierced the gliding serpent. And if you look at the Job passage carefully, you might say, well, Rahab is the same thing as the serpent. Well, no, those are two different words that are being used. We talked about that last week. The words that are used matter. The writer would have used the same word if it was the same thing. That's not what it's talking about. Leviathan is being referred to as the serpent. And so in Job 26, we're introduced to this creature. In Isaiah 51:9, it says this, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon? And so it begs the question, what is Rahab? Well, there's obviously some times in Scripture where Rahab is used to symbolize Egypt. But there also are some moments where Rahab apparently is a real creature, not a mythical creature, but a real creature. And these were a couple of those verses where it seems to be a literal creature. Why would that be? Well, because the readers would understand that. They would know that it was a literal creature. Why in the world would an author try to describe the power of God by describing a God who is powerful enough to kill a creature that's not real? Why would the author ever describe the power of God in terms of creating something that didn't exist? That'd be like saying to me, Jeff, well, you destroyed the Death Star. Well, you walk out the room and go, well, so what? The Death Star is not real. Who cares? See, it is one of those things that for us, we have to understand that the Bible, interpreted in light of Scripture, really does matter. And so what we have here is another creature that is big, another creature that is monstrous, another creature that only God can control. It is the real deal. It is reality. And what does it remind us of? Well, it reminds us of this. We live in a tough world. We live in a dangerous world. We live in a world that sometimes really does seem that it wants to get the best of us. But at the same time, as we've heard about, as our kids were sharing, as we've looked at time and time again, as we've looked through Scripture, there is something that is happening in the world around us that we need to not only embrace, but we need to be excited about. God has called us to reach into a world that seems to have all gone to the corners, and we're the only ones in the middle of the playing field. And we're the ones that have a message to share and truth to share in a world that is not interested in truth sometimes or desperately looking for truth at times. And that's where we operate. I don't know if you saw this week the story that comes out about the Golden Arches. But McDonald's has an employee named Brenda Wilson. She works a drive-thru at McDonald's. She serves Big Macs and fries and a supersized heart. And she begins every morning, according to what she says, with the same routine. She says, every morning I pray, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all my ways, and he'll direct my path. She is an openly Christian woman, a woman of faith. And that faith compels her to pray for every customer that comes through the drive-thru. She has negotiated with her manager the opportunity to take an extra 15 seconds. That little clock that you might have seen in the McDonald's drive-thru window, she gets 15 extra seconds to pray with them. And at the McDonald's that she works at, the drive-thru line will wrap around the building. Now, you've been to McDonald's. It can't be about the food. It has to be about the prayer. And yet she has the freedom to do that. Now, every day she doesn't always work the drive-thru, so sometimes she's actually working the counter. Dylan Brooke is one of her regulars. She noticed that there wasn't a line around the building. What does that mean? Well, if there's not a line around the building, guess what? Nobody's getting prayed for. So that means Miss Brenda must be inside. So she parked her car and she walked inside because she needed to see Brenda on this day. When Brenda saw her come in, Brenda walked over to her and said, God just told me right now that I need to pray for you. Can I do that? And she said, yes. And so there in McDonald's by the drink dispenser, Brenda hit her knees and knelt in front of the customer and began to pray. And pray for this woman who had come in. Dylan wrote, I usually go to the drive-thru, but I needed to see Miss Brenda. I've been struggling with a few things lately. I'm having a hard time figuring it all out. And when she got on her knees and began praying for me, every struggle that I had, she mentioned. She knows nothing about them. But yet for everything that I struggle with, she hit every spot, word for word, every issue. Somehow she knew. God works in mysterious ways. With that being said, we all need to learn to let go and let God. God bless you, Ms. Brenda. Thank you. See, throughout history, God shows up in unusual ways. He spoke to Moses at a burning bush. He spoke to Noah as he constructed an ark and put the animals on board, including the little bitty dinosaurs we talked about last week. He shows up on a road to Damascus and blinds a persecutor of the church and changes him into one of the most prolific authors and teachers and church planners that we'd ever meet. And God does show up in a place called Ocean Springs, Mississippi, where some of the guys in this room have been there. And God shows up under the golden arches. It looks a lot like Miss Brenda, who takes the time to pray for the folks that come every day. See, I don't know why we ever want to shortchange who God wants us to be and why we ever would cower in front of the culture. See, we fight back against the Lion of Judah, but we make the kitten a lot louder than it needs to be. There's something wrong with that, something that we've got to step away from. And so being that we're kind of at the end of camp week and we're still rolling through the summer, I think it's important for our students to hear, but it's important for you to hear. I want you to know that you just can't be everything you want to be. Now, that's not real motivational, I know that. The culture will tell you that. You can be anything you want to be. They're lying to you. Because the culture always lies to you. So I want you to hear the truth. You can't be everything you want to be. And I don't know what that is, but you can't be everything you want to be. But here's what I do know. You can be everything that you were created to be. Well, what were you created to be? You're created to be a beast. You're created to be a beast that is moving into the world with unlimited possibilities, opportunities, following a God of great imagination, a God of surprises that will take you and move you and take you into realms that you've never been before. You heard the kids say a couple times, heard Richard talk about it a little bit, that sometimes our comfort level gets in the way. Let me give you Jeff's theory of spiritual revolution. I was just calling it Jeff's theory of evolution, but I figured that you would mock my science. And so let me go ahead and give you this philosophy of spiritual revolution. It's simply this. You have to push through your comfort level to find your calling. You have to push through your comfort level to find your calling. See, church people, we want it to be easy. We want it to be comfy. And sometimes we just get lazy. We live in a culture that's what we do. I mean, we church shop. We nitpick. You know, who has something that I like here? Who has something that I want to be here? And there's nothing wrong with that because churches are always trying to tell you what they have to offer. But here's what you need to understand, and here's what you need to get right. And I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've come from. I don't care if you're in this room. I don't care if you're watching us online. I don't care if you see us 10 years from now. This will be true. The first question you should ask is, God, where have you called me to be? Because it's a call of God that will change the world. But you can't discover the call of God while you're content in your comfort zone. And if I'm going to be your pastor, I promise you this, I'm going to live my life trying to make you uncomfortable. And I want you to be so uncomfortable, I push you outside of your comfort zone and try to get you to do things and be more than you think you can be. And if you're looking for comfort, if you're looking for easy and you're looking for lazy, you are in the wrong place. There ain't nothing comfortable about this. Nothing easy about this. This is not a call of God to be lazy. You've got to be willing to move beyond your comfort zone into your calling, because if you don't, hear me carefully, you will be extinct. See, as long as a church in America stays comfortable, it's on its way to extinction, because the world and the culture doesn't care about it. But let me tell you who gets in the face of a world and a culture. It's the people of God who are called to make a difference in the world and understand that and are not afraid to stand up and embrace it. It is not a time for namby-pamby followers of Christ. It is a time for the people of God to get serious about being the beast that they were created to be in the world. And you're called to be a beast. And you say, you can't keep calling me a beast. I'm going to keep calling you a beast, because that's what you are. And that's what you have to decide that you want to be. Because only then will you embrace who you're created to be. Only then will you embrace all that God is wanting to do. So when you came in today, hopefully all of you got these. If not, there's still a few out there. I still see a few of the flock. They're not extinct yet. You got a dinosaur. Some of you, we tried to hand a dinosaur to, and I know how it works, because I saw it happen at 9 o'clock. I saw some people go, I don't want a dinosaur. That's so childish. Don't give me a kid's toy. That's childish. I don't want a dinosaur. I'm too cool for that. I'm not going to walk around with a little dinosaur, a little plastic dinosaur. I don't want to do that. Well, let me tell you what this little plastic dinosaur is about. You need to get over yourself. Suck it up, buttercup, because what this is about is, this is a reminder to you that you were created to be a beast. And here's the deal. If you ain't bad enough to hold a little plastic dinosaur, you ain't that bad at all, are you? You afraid that the culture's going to laugh at you because you hold a little plastic dinosaur? You're a wimp. Get over yourself, grab the dinosaur, start being who you were created to be. And when you see this, ask God to remind you, to get you out of your comfort zone and get you into your calling so you can be who you were created to be. When we do that, here's what's going to happen. I promise you this. We'll touch and change the world. It is that simple. It's not comfortable, but it's about your calling. Let's pray. God, help us be who we are called to be. We go through your word and we see it over and over again. You call the most unlikely. You call them in unlikely places to unlikely things, to do amazing events around unlikely people. We get unlikely results. So it is when we're willing to embrace who you created us to be. God, there are some in this room, some who will be watching this stream online, who've never taken that moment, never had that moment where they've accepted Jesus as Savior. They've never made the decision to believe and trust and follow. So while it sounds real good, you've created us to be something special, we don't feel like we're something special because we don't understand. Lord, for anyone here this morning who's never made the decision to follow Jesus, never accepted Jesus as Savior, I pray that it could be as simple as this prayer. God, forgive me for those moments where I've messed up. Forgive me for the times I thought I could make it on my own. I realize I can't. And I need you. And although I don't understand it all, I want to follow you. I believe in you. I want to be who you've created me to be. I don't want to settle for less. Now, for anyone who's prayed a prayer like that, similar to that, if that's their desire this day, I pray that before they would leave this place, if they're in this room, that they would give us a worship flyer and just say, I want to accept Jesus as Savior. Give us a way to contact them. Well, if they're watching online, I pray that even now they would just go ahead and stop the live stream or stop the on-demand stream and just send us an email and say, I've made a decision to follow Jesus. What do I do now? And give us a chance to step alongside of them and encourage them and help them to find a place to connect close to where they live. But Lord, for others who are in this room right now, we've heard a lot, we've seen a lot, we've lifted our voice in song, and now it's time for the rubber to meet the road, for us to get serious about it, who it is that you created us to be. And so, God, I pray this morning you would move us outside of our comfort zones and help us to discover our calling, who we are called and created to be. Because we were never created for extinction, but we were created to follow and impact the world. That's our prayer this day, our hope for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand?
Dramatic last note. I was waiting. If you could do it one more, do it one more time for me. Well done. Well done. It's been a good day to be in worship. Thank you so much for being here. I want to say hello to Kurt. Kurt Lindhoff is with Florida Baptist Financial Services, Church Growth Investment Services. What am I getting right? I got all right. He has been working with us, and he has been helping us put together the package we need to secure this property out front. You'll see him a lot more in the days ahead, but he's here in town today, and so he's worshiping with us. And so, Kurt, welcome. Hopefully people made you feel welcome. If not, they will now. He's our money guy, okay? So we want to make Kurt feel welcome. Invite him to lunch. Clap for him. There you go. That's just pretty obnoxious on my part, isn't it? Yeah, it's pretty obnoxious, isn't it? Yeah. Also, there's a whole lot that happens over the course of the week, and we're getting ready to send you guys out. But what you may know, I mean, hopefully you all know, that this last 2 days, this place has looked radically different. It's been filled with guys who kind of look like bikers. They're we did the National Training School for Santas, and so we've been training Santa Clauses and Mrs. Clauses across the country. And so it's funny, if you show up here, it looks like a biker gang walking in. I mean, they all got these white beards and this long hair. It's pretty crazy. And they come in here, but they learn how to be Santa Claus. We did that for 2 days. It's been awesome. I once again participated in it. And so here's what I want you to understand, that now – oh, no. Stay over there. Stay over there, Blondie. Stay over there. Because I've been to multiple schools, I am now, have been received this degree, the Advanced Master of Santa Claus. You can call me Advanced Master. That's where you can address me from now on. Don't hesitate to do that. You can call me Jedi Master if you want to. You can call me Jeffy Master if you want to. But I just want this to be certified I have a degree. Now, of course, he's off. So it just lets you know, can't trust doctors, can't trust the science. As we go into the world this week, go out, be the beast that you were created to be, touch and change the world with the love of Christ, and know here you are loved, and God has done something amazing in your life. Go out and share that with others. We'll see you next week.